C6, number 10A.
Now, we said we want to spend most of the week in structuring our consciousness, and that needs years and years. It's not something that one can do just in a day. It is a new way of thinking, and we have to get out of the old ruts of thinking in the old classical way. But the world today has changed, and we are in the trans-classical age, actually in a transcendental age, where we transcend the material level, and some transcend it to the mental, we transcend it to the spiritual. So it's a new age, demands a new structure of consciousness. So, having seen our fundamental matrix regarding the Christian Science textbook, the Christian Science matrix, I would like now to make an exercise with you on a specific subject within the framework of the textbook, so as to show if it is true that Mrs. Eddy has actually presented in her textbook a structure for every subject, for every main subject, or not. We take today the question of, don't be shocked, handling evil. So, you have in front of you a matrix, and there now the subject, the big A, would now be handling evil. So you write down there on the top, yes, up here, handling evil. Always in that upper corner, left upper corner, we state the subject if we don't know it anyway. Now, let me try to present the problem of not so much of handling evil, but of how to use the method of matrix in order to tackle an individual subject like here, handling evil. We know that John Dorley made a great point out of it, that he said we should handle evil consistently every day, and therefore he showed us also how he did it. Mostly he showed it through the word order, and later on through the inverted word order. He did that out of his own empirical experience. He didn't do it so much that he did take it out of the textbook, and so he developed his individual method of handling evil. Just for the sake of stating the problem, for no other reason, I want to say that when he was telling us that in the class, I went through class before the war, and I was very much impressed by his teaching on handling evil. During the war, I spent about a whole year picking out of all the writings of Mrs. Eddy everything that had to do with handling evil. Everything that had to do, should we handle evil, why should we handle evil, how to handle evil, took everything out that was, every statement I wrote out about mortal mind, about matter, and about evil, and about sense testimony, and about belief, because all this has to be handled. A terrific work, and I say that because of one reason, that I was still thinking in the old classical atomistic way. I was trying to get out of hundreds, actually there were thousands of references that I had typed out in the evening hours, in the long winter nights. And I had a big file on that, which we still value very much. And then I tried to find somehow the connection between all these thousands and thousands of references, to try to bring them together and integrate them somehow into a whole. Can you see, it was a typical classical method of investigating something as we learned it at school. And what came out of it was quite nice, but not very really impressive. The gist of it, I have at that time published in Metaphysical Notes, and is published in a little pamphlet on handling evil, which you know, giving just references there, the main important references on the question of handling evil. And there you can see very easily how I tried, in the old classical way, how I tried to categorize some of these ideas, to put together the references in various subjects, like the necessity of handling evil, do we have to handle evil, and so on. And it never satisfied me, finally. But I didn't know how to do better. Nobody knew how to do better at that time. Actually, only when we find the right method, which I would say is the matrix method, that we can approach that whole subject quite anew, absolutely new, and we'll find a much more convincing and much more spiritual answer to the whole question of handling evil. And therefore, I would like to go through these notes quickly with you today, not with the intention to give you an absolute final answer. What I give you are just quick jotting downs that I made, but which show that even a first approach, an approximation to the subject, yields a much more satisfactory answer than that whole burdensome task I did with the old classical method. How do we approach such a subject? We approach such a subject, first of all, by extracting from the textbook all the references that are related to the subject. How do we do that? Well, perhaps one of the easiest way is to go to the concordance. There, you could look up all the references on evil, if the subject here is handling evil. You could go through the concordance, just write out page and line of every reference on evil. But as the concordance is not put in a chronological way, you have then to make a second step, namely to put all these references into a chronological order, because what do we want to study? We want to study the subject chapter-wise. So that's the second step. You put these references in a chronological order, subdivided by the chapters, so that you have all the references on evil in the chapter on prayer, and afterwards all the references on evil in the chapter on atonement and Eucharist, and so on. So this is the mechanics and the technicality of it before one really starts working. But then you at least have all the references on which one wants to rely for the analysis of the subject. But then naturally comes a further step where you already have to begin to use your spiritual sense. Namely, that naturally not all references on evil have to do with handling evil. There are many, many references or more references on evil that have nothing to do with the question of how to handle evil. Say, if she says that mind is not good and evil, then she doesn't say anything about handling evil. Or if she says that from evil come all discord or something like that, then she doesn't say anything about handling evil. Therefore, one has to eliminate first those references that are not relevant to the subject. Especially in the subject of handling evil, there are more references on evil just to explain what evil is or what evil is not or what it seems to be, that evil is not real, that evil is not scientific or anything like that, but do not refer to the method of how to handle evil. When one has that elimination of irrelevant sentences or references for the subject, then comes the real work, namely, then comes the question, does Mrs. Eddy actually, and actually this was a question mark to begin with, does Mrs. Eddy actually deal with the question of handling evil in the same way in one chapter and always differently in every other chapter? Or is it so, as we may have thought it would be, if I would have asked you 2-3 years ago and would have asked, now what do you think, does Mrs. Eddy handle the question of evil in all through the textbook about the same way and all over the place about the same way, or does she handle the question of handling evil specifically only in one way in one chapter and no more in the other chapters? I think we would have said, well, I think all over the textbook she more or less brings up the same answer and the same way of dealing with it. So the first adventure really was to see, does the textbook give us a structured answer even to such a specific question as handling evil? Does it give a matrix answer, therefore a structured answer? If so, then naturally we would find the wholeness of the subject presented and presented in its categories, therefore in its fundamental aspect. And the moment we have that, the moment we can see a subject structurally, it is easier to understand and it is easier to have an overall view of it. So, can you see what we try to do? And I say try, because it's left to development, is instead of guessing what is the best way of handling evil and asking your teacher, your friend, or anybody, how should we handle evil? And he gives you an answer. The one says you don't have to handle evil, evil is anyway nothing. The other one says, well, you just knock it down as good as you can. And the other one says, well, reduce it to its native nothingness. Everyone may give a different answer. And according to one's liking, one will take one answer and think this is the answer. Now we have seen that in the modern consciousness, in the new consciousness, we should not ask for a single answer. We should ask for a matrix answer. And so we'll see what the textbook tells us. If we find there a matrix answer, this gives us much more authority that we deal with the problem of evil in the way that it has been revealed by God and not been revealed by a person. So we ask for the authority, really, of how to handle evil. Therefore, we take chapter by chapter, and I recapitulate just in few words, in parts of sentences, in renderings extracted from the text of the textbook. I give you the renderings in each chapter. They may be sometimes just two or three, they may be sometimes 10 or 12, according to the chapter. And we will listen, spiritually listen, if we find a common denominator in each chapter. Did I state the problem clearly? So, it was clearly stated, I'm glad, but I repeat it just the same, to be quite sure. What I did was that I studied, say, in each chapter, the references concerned with handling evil, wrote out for me, not the whole sentence, but just a few words out of the sentence that are typical for the tonality, and I give you those excerpts, and then we will ask ourselves, what is the common denominator? If we have the common denominator, we'll write it as an epitome into our matrix and build up from chapter to chapter the matrix. Yes? Now this time it was really yes. Yes. But when I do it, I'm aware that I'm not very fair to a class, because I have the text in front of me and I can read it, and you have to listen to it, and after the third and fourth statement you may already lose what I have said at the first statement. So I'm aware of the difficulty, naturally, you have, because you don't have this in front of you, but I will help. So, the chapter on prayer. I read you the renderings, and don't try to write it down, because you would lose me, except you write shorthand or so, but it doesn't really matter. But try perhaps to listen spiritually before we write it down. So what does Mrs. Eddy say in the chapter on prayer about evil and about handling of evil? She speaks here, deliver us from evil, from the evil one. We should seek the destruction of all evil works. There is a necessity for overcoming the world, the flesh, and evil. And in the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from evil. Just these. Could you catch a common tone? It's difficult. It's very easy, but it's difficult because it's the first one. You have nothing to compare with. See, as we go on, you will see that with each new chapter, it will become easy because you have a lot to compare with. So that the distinction is that really which should come out. Can you listen here that in prayer, it's so adapted to prayer, really. Namely, it's constantly the desire to overcome evil. That's the common tone in it. It's constantly the desire, to desire to be freed from evil, to be delivered from evil. I read it again, and then you hear it. It says, deliver us from evil. That's the first way how to handle evil, that we want to be delivered from it. How can we handle evil if we don't want to be delivered from evil? So the very first thing that must be seen there is that the desire, deliver us from evil, from the evil one. We should seek the destruction of all evil. Again, seeking the desire that evil will be destroyed, that we will be delivered from evil. He talks about the necessity of overcoming evil. And in the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us again from evil. Can you hear here? Actually, you see, you have to think tone-wise, not word-wise. Tone-wise, because we can express the tone with many different words. So the words don't matter. What matters is the spiritual touch. So here, we could perhaps write down, would you agree with that? That here is the desire, you can write it down, the desire to be delivered from evil. Yes, in prayer. In prayer, I am speaking about the chapter on prayer. The desire to be delivered from evil. Yes? All right. Now, let's go to the next chapter, Tome and Eucharist, and listen to it if this tone is repeated. And if it isn't repeated, listen to how different it is. It is always the differentiation that gives understanding. See, science is rested on differentiation. So, if we have in our spiritual ear the first chapter, that desire to be freed from evil, now listen what the second chapter says about evil and handling evil. It says, thou shalt not know evil. There is the command to turn from evil. The revealed word is seen casting out evil. The disciples knew what cast out evil. This enabled Jesus spiritually to cast out evil. Is that the same tone? No. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Well, you may think it's not wonderful. I feel it's terrific that in another chapter she would not repeat the same thing again. And that in that chapter there is just one thing constantly going through it. And you heard it. Hmm? It was... We must be delivered from evil. We must cast out evil. Huh? Is that strong sense that Jesus cast out evil, that the disciples knew what was casting out evil, that we must cast out evil, that the command to turn from evil, you see, that all has that sense of doing something, acting. Can you see the connection with the chapter Atonement and Eucharist? Huh? Yes, very clearly. There again we had that power sense to do something, not only to be on our knees and say, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. Huh? You jolly well have to do something about it. The Christ commands and says, all right, if you mean it, then do something. Did it say how to cast it out? No. See? Just the very command given to us to do something about it, cast it out. Yes? Shall we take? Oh, so we can write here, command to cast out evil. Command to cast out evil. Yeah. So already these two chapters are very informative. I have a great sense of information, which says, you know, it's no use to try to handle evil if you don't want to be delivered really from evil. If in the depths of your heart you think, I hope I get away with it. Then, when that desire is earnest, then the steering mechanism of the matrix. Can you see here now the steering mechanism of the matrix says, now you can't stay there, that's only one part of the whole matrix. It leads you now to the Christ of that. And the Christ of that says, do something about it. Cast it out. Why don't we have these in another chapter? And they don't repeat themselves in another chapter. Isn't it marvelous? It's only here. You will see as we go on, she doesn't say that anymore in the other chapters as a main subject. So, we come to the next chapter, marriage. And again, listen to what she says spiritually, and there are only just two references on that.